guys, welcome to Artistic License. This is another long-anticipated edition of the Exploring BJJ mini-series that we're doing with Sam. What's up, Sam?
What's up?
How's it going? And we also have Brick and Taylor in the studio with us, which is awesome. I love coming to work with a bunch of super buff, awesomely talented jiu-jitsu partners. So this weekend is Fight to Win, and can you guys tell me, I've watched fights like this before on the stream, but I've never been there. Like, what can people expect watching this weekend?
I don't even know what to expect.
Yeah, me neither. I think what there's like a stage and a
small walkout.
I guess it's more, you guys are like on a stage.
You know, instead of a regular tournament where there's multiple matches going on at once, this is more of one match at a time.
Mm-hmm.
In center like an stage. Arena type setting, like a boxing
music.
Ring. Or
do you really get walkout music?
Walkout music.
And there's smoke and lights.
Yeah. So it's a little, I guess, a little more
MMA-esque,
yeah.
What are your walkout songs? Are they secrets?
Mine is.
Secret.
Yes.
Oh.
I can't tell you.
Can you guys tell me after? Because I really want to know.
Maybe. We'll see.
Sam, what would your walkout song be?
Oh, man. I'd have a lot of choices. Either like an AC/DC song or there's been the song that's in the Sal of a Barrel highlight that I used to watch a million times when I was like a white belt. By like Jedi Mind Tricks or something like that. Not that I'm solo in any way, but I like that song.
Oh, it's cool. It's exciting. Like, I fought in one before, and any little, like, you know, I escaped from an armbar, the crowd, like, stood up and cheered. It was, like, a lot of energy and focus that's not in a normal tournament at all. So.
First on the line, we talked to Mike Sim, a black belt from the Illinois School of Grappling, who will be fighting Daniel Viana this Saturday.
What do I look forward to most about competing? Aside from getting to eat that meal afterwards, I'm an identical twin. I've been competitive my whole life, literally since birth and prior to birth in the womb. You know, I've been competing for everything. So competition for me is just kind of written in my DNA. It's something that I enjoy doing. And as we get a little older here, those avenues and options and opportunities to compete become fewer and far between. So life, responsibilities, kids, family, mortgages, whatnot, it's fun to be able to, you know, get my mind off everything else and just focus on me and my competition and my prep for my competition.
When you first started training, did you have in your head you wanted to compete right away? Or were you just starting it for, you know, the health benefits, recreation?
When I first started, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with it. I knew that right away. The story I tell everyone is that, so, again, I have a twin brother, right? For 6 months while he was training, he kept saying, Mike, you got to come try this. You're going to love it. You got to come try this. It's so much fun. And for 6 months, I told him, there's no way. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get on the mat, roll with other guys, get their sweat on me, sweat on them. Like, it's just not appealing to me. At the time, I was playing outdoor soccer. I was playing softball pretty competitively in all these leagues. And I was active 5, 6, 7 nights a week, except I wasn't healthy. And then I found jiu-jitsu. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, I told her that I'm going to quit all my sports teams, my soccer and my softball teams. I'm going to focus on jiu-jitsu. I won't do it 7 days a week, but I'll do it, you know, 3, 4 days a week, whatever it is, and you can't complain. And she was happy with that. I was happy with the jump and realizing that I really, no matter how athletic I thought I was really out of shape. And jiu-jitsu's helped me get to be in shape and keep and maintain a healthier lifestyle.
Next, we spoke with Brick Welch, who was in the studio. He's a black belt who will be fighting Andre Maneko.
How long did you train before your first competition?
Before my first tournament? So I did a Naga when I was 15 years old. And I think I might have been training for 8 months, maybe? I don't know. I was a yellow belt, and I fought in a kids' division.
What excites you the most about competition, and what has been your biggest struggle as a competitor?
So what excites me the most is definitely getting out there and just kind of testing myself. the biggest struggle probably has been, I've been a student or in school pretty much the whole time I've actually been competing. So kind of going through undergrad and competing was a tough balance.
Can't imagine that.
Yeah, definitely. School kind of paid the price, right? Because I was more focused on jiu-jitsu at that point in my life. And then now being in a grad program, I kind of have to dial back the tournaments, you know? So it's always kind of like it's like I'm living two lives, right? Like the student life and then training to compete in major tournaments. So
what are you going to school for?
I'm doing a master's in finance.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dang.
You might recognize Mark Vives from our first Exploring BJJ podcast. He's a black belt who will be fighting Joel Blanton.
When I received my black belt, within that first 12 months, I competed 14 times. Some tournaments, some super fights, some everything else. So for me, making the transition as a competitive black belt, like within the tournament and like, you know, with the tournament and super fight scene, I actually tried to sit there and get in as fast as I could. And I actually remember the first three super fights or tournaments that I did.
You've had the opportunity to compete in, you know, different tournaments, you know, even tournaments outside of the country and different levels. What's the biggest difference in your mind between competing now as a black belt is some of the lower ranks?
It's that's actually a really, really good question. And I believe that there are differences that you have to learn when you compete at all the different belt levels, and also different types of tournament styles as well, too. Like, I think the most important takeaway there is, as a white belt, blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, or like any type of amateur level belt, if you will, or amateur level, you have to understand that you're competing with the purpose of learning to learn how to compete. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. It doesn't really matter until you kind of hit that, dare I say, professional level. Now, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, we don't really have a professional level established just yet, but that professional level, for lack of better terms, is black belt level. So once you hit the black belt level, everything you do now counts. So I think what, for me, as when I was a younger belt and competing, for me it was just about trying to sit there and see what works, what doesn't work, and try to roll with it until I basically got stopped. Once you get stopped, you know, you really just have to kind of like really figure that out. Now, it's funny because as soon as I got to the black belt level, I needed to kind of relearn how to compete. And that's the biggest difference, because everyone at the black belt level that is a competitor knows how to compete. So it's now about learning how to, you know, to really fight for every single inch, not make mistakes. And when mistakes occur, if you made the mistake, you have to learn how to bottle up and cover up that mistake as fast as humanly possible. Or if you can cause a mistake to happen on your opponent's part, on how to capitalize on that. I think those are the biggest differences.
Also in studio, Taylor Biagi, a purple belt.
My first 4 years of training at the club in Iowa, there were no other gyms around. Like, that was my training. So I always just trained hard, and I didn't even think of, like, what could be different. And the past 3 years I've been in Chicago, it's been kind of a different experience because there's so many gyms and I've made so many friends. I feel like it's a priority for me now in my preparation to find people who I really feel like push me and are similar size, similar skill. If I can find females, it's even better because just different. It helps me a lot with their body types and movements and stuff. So now I sort of seek it out more than I ever have. But in general, I take what I can get, and any training is good training, and as long as I'm training as hard as I can. So,
what has been the biggest challenge for you as a competitor? What did you find the most difficult?
Probably figuring out the right mindset and being comfortable in the setting. And along with that, like, just making sure my preparation is on point and everything is, I mean, every experience is different, but just trying to nail it, like, what I need and what makes me feel the best.
And when you leave a tournament, what have you taken away, and has that changed, you know, the way you train?
Every single competition experience I've taken from, and and everything had different stuff to offer me, and I learned from, like, I learned from the smaller tournaments. I actually have more pressure on me. I feel like at smaller tournaments, I put more pressure on myself, whereas I prefer to be like a small fish in a big pond. Like at the big tournaments, I like that. I like being lost in the crowd and no expectations, just my own. And and also the bigger challenge of the tougher girls and the higher caliber competitors. Every single tournament has taught me something about myself as a competitor and the preparation process. And I would suggest just put yourself out there as many times as you can, and don't turn down opportunities, no matter how challenging or how small they may seem, because they can always better you.
And finally on the line, we spoke with Nikki Sullivan, a purple belt who will be fighting Christina Anaya.
Are most of your training partners leading up the competition, female or males, or do you try to seek out other female training partners to get ready, or are you kind of indifferent about that?
Yeah, a lot of them are males. We don't have a lot of girls down here, and a lot of the gyms I've trained at, maybe there is one other girl or a couple other girls, but usually my main training partners are guys, and I get great training with them. I mean, they push me really hard, but I do think it's really important to get training with other women, especially since the people I compete against are women, and they just, it's a little bit different. So I do travel around a lot when I can and seek out other female training partners. Like, I'll go up to Chicago and train with Taylor or other girls up there sometimes, or there are girls in Ohio I love to train with. I just think that it is important. I don't think I need it all the time, but I think that we do need it as much as we can.
And Taylor's actually here right now.
Yeah. I think that when I first started competing, especially when I started going to the big tournaments, no one really at my gym did that. And even in the area or the state really that I knew of really traveled to go to like California or New York and do the tournaments like Worlds and Pans. And so I went to a lot of tournaments by myself, and that can be really tough. And even training up to a big tournament when you're the only one who's really preparing for that, that can be hard too, just mentally and feeling like, you know, maybe I was getting good training, but not really, like, nobody else is in that same mindset. So that can be kind of lonely and kind of hard. But I've definitely been blessed in the past few years to build a lot of relationships with other competitors and coaches who have really supported me. And I also know more and more teammates are stepping up to travel and put it on the line at the big tournament. So that's been really awesome to like have more and more people go with me over the past couple years.
Like, I hope everyone tunes in to Fight to Win 13, Fight to Win Pro 13 this weekend on Saturday, September 24th. Show starts at 6 p.m. Central Time. It's on Flow Grappling.
Tickets are still available. Just search Fight 2 Win. FlowGrappling.com, as Mark mentioned, will be streaming the fight. A special thanks to everyone that was on. A longer version of this podcast all about jiu-jitsu competitors will be available soon on WGN Plus. We'll be sure to keep you updated. Thank you again to Sam Spiegelman, to Hard Times Productions, WGN Radio, Tim Apuli, Taylor, and Brick for coming in, and for all of you listening today. I'm Rachel Woodall, and until next time, this has been Artistic License. Next week, catch up with us as we check in with America's Next Top Model winner, Jaslyn Gonzalez, and she tells us about a cool new project she has running in Chicago that can turn you into a top model, too.